गुड इवनिंग एवरी वन, थैंक यू फॉर ज्वाइनिंग। हैप्पी दिवाली टू स्टार्ट विथ। तो एज यूजुअल वी हैव आदित्य सर, विवेकान सर एंड भिड़े सर। इंसिडेंटली मिस्टर लेडवानी वॉज ऑल्सो इन मुंबई, सो ही ऑल्सो ज्वाइन दिस कॉल। विल स्टार्ट विथ अ शॉर्ट प्रेजेंटेशन बाय आदित्य सर एंड देन विल टेक क्वेश्चन।
I hope you guys can see the presentation. I hope it's up. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to attend. Very quick overview. We yesterday had our board meeting. The results were announced. As you all may know, the Q2 sales were at 229 crores, which is our highest second quarter sales, and a quarterly increase of 23%. We had some decent margin expansion, which was along the lines of what we've been working towards. Given the fact that Q1 was disappointing in that regard, we had pushed a lot. And we are now coming closer to the norm of where we want to be and keep improving from there onwards. HY1 data. On the ground, demand seems to be fairly good. And our continuous hard work is going in terms of, you have to admit something. The continuous hard work is going on in terms of growing, meeting the requirements of the market, growing internationally, growing domestically, especially for different industries, the way they're moving, all of that. So that's where our focus areas remain. Standard data, I think most of you would have calculated this already. 9.8 is the PBT margin that we had for HY1 and ROCE of 25, which we're going to build on as we go through the rest of this year. In the waiting room. Working capital and borrowings, Q2, fairly indicative again as well. Over here, 198 in terms of the working capital and borrowing at 32 crores at the end of HY1, a debt to equity ratio of 0.1. From business perspective, we have two very interesting updates that have happened. One is we have launched India's first battery powered vendor. The interesting part about this was it was started in February, March of this year. We worked with our technical team to say that we were very keen to have a product launch ready by September, the world's largest welding exhibition in Germany. And this goes to show that, you know, what we keep talking about, which is make, research and create in India. And the investments we have in that regard, which is we have about 38 people in our technical team, 5% of our profits go towards it. All of that, they were in a position to be able to launch a product by September. And there's a lot of interest for it. The official product launch and readiness should be around Jan-Feb. We expect that to take off and lead to strong demand as well. As I mentioned, the Essen Trade Show was very important. It's the first time we have participated, especially at a very large level. Given positive India factors that are in play, given the brand placement, given our own focus on the international markets, was something that went off very well. In fact, we had a virtual reality experience to understand our plans, to get confidence for the customers, that as well. The merger, as you all know, is still going through the NCLT process. However, the vote has happened at both companies, and we're very pleased that the vote went off in favor of the amalgamation in both companies. We now leave it open to question and answers. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, everyone. I am your moderator for today's Q&A session. Our first speaker for today is Mr. Pritesh. Mr. Pritesh, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Sorry, I got just tied up. Just a few questions. If you could give, what is the volume growth in your consumables in H1 with the tonnage number, if possible? The second question is, there is a lot of variations that we keep on seeing on the margin front on the consumable side of the segment. You know, as you scale up further, you know, could you call out what kind of margins are possible in your business combined with the capacity utilization that you have today? And my third question is, we had this ONGC order, which was a large order in the flux. What is the progress on that order in terms of execution cycle? Because the segmental still didn't show any large execution probably from that order. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So let me go one by one. I'll just answer those questions quickly, Pradesh. So just to be clear, our volume growth on the consumables was 22%, and our volume growth in the equipment was 35%. 35%. Our margin variation was a dip in terms of Q1 due to factors related around primarily a bit of a product mix issue, plus slightly still lower volumes than was meant to happen. I think what you're seeing is in Q2, the normalcy is what we would like to say is a factor that we want to play at. It's definitely is much, much closer to where we want to be. And Q2 is more reflective of that as we go forward. Secondly, we do expect volumes to continually pick up and allow that to keep growing. So we should be in a position to hopefully sustain what we just saw in the second quarter. On the ONGC Uran flare order front, we are entering what we call now pretty much the hot billing phase of everything. From December onwards, Jan onwards, until June, July is where most of the execution will happen. We are tracking it very, very closely. As you said, at the end of the day, it's 125 crore order. It's a large execution of a flare job. And it requires continuous sort of drive in that regard. But it will start from approximately December and Jan onwards is where we get pretty into the kicker of most of the project for the next 6 months. I hope that answers your questions. Anything else, John? Anything else? You're on mute. You have to unmute him. He's not unmute. You have to let him unmute.
Okay. So the execution will be in 6 months from quarter four to quarter two. That's what you want to call out?
Jan till June, July is where 90% of this gets executed correctly.
Okay. And what is the capacity utilization that you're running at?
On our consumables?
Yeah.
We are anywhere in the region of approximately 75 to 80%, and we're adding a lot of capacity over the next. Well, a lot of capacity means a couple of 6,000, 7,000, about 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 tons over the next 6 months.
Okay. And my last, what is the progress on the flux product line?
Flux core wire product line?
Yeah.
Flux core wire product line, we're actually belting out quite a bit right now at the moment. Touchwood, we're pretty much running at 90-95% of our capacity, and that's the line where we'll be adding quite a lot of capacity in the coming months.
Okay. Thank you. All the best and happy
Diwali.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Harshil. Mr. Harshil, we are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hi, sir. So what I wanted to know is, apart from the ONGC order, are we seeing in any other big orders which are coming in of a similar size for the flares business?
No, not at the moment. Not at the moment. We aren't, because we aren't. First of all, if you remember, we talked about the fact that this is an order that gives us also a PTR, PQR to be able to do demountable flares and stuff like that at a higher level. So we're waiting to execute this order. We are bidding and winning orders on flares like we did earlier in the past, which was more on the lines of approximately sub 20 crore type of thing. So we're working on those and we're taking that. We have not bid for such a large order at the moment. We have some other stuff in the process equipment, but it's not as large as this, but we are bidding on stuff relating to desalination and stuff like that as well. So that is ongoing. But we have not won any order of this size, or neither are we bidding for a very large order of this size at the moment. Will we are in a position to prove how we execute this correctly.
Okay. You said that you're bidding in for orders of sub 20 CR or something. So can you just help us with your order bid pipeline if possible? A ballpark figure is also fine.
I think we have anywhere in the region of approximately 35 to 40, I think 30 to 35 crores right now in terms of pending orders over the next year. So beyond 2 and 1.
This is the bid pipeline, correct?
No, that's the confirmed order pipeline will be in the region of approximately 30 crores. And the bid pipeline will be another about 100 crores beyond that.
Okay. And just to get a sense of the demand environment, so are we seeing, you know, such kind of desalination or the FGD orders or, you know, inquiries, you know, on a steady state basis and the demand being robust?
Yeah, demand is fairly good on that one. Demand is not a problem. I think the demand is fairly there. It's about selectively doing the right order. It has to meet all our criteria, like we keep saying about our cash flows, about our ROC, everything like that. But yeah, there's enough business that is definitely coming out of that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, thanks.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Chandresh. Mr. Chandresh, can you please proceed to ask your questions?
Hello.
Hi.
Am I audible, sir?
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Go ahead, Chandresh.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on such good set of numbers, sir. So on the consumable side, can we expect like Q3, Q4 is the like better quarter for us in the historical? So we can we expect the same similar rate of growth going forward?
I don't like to give forecasts. I don't like to give forecast on that front or anything like that. But in general, the demand indicators seem to prove yes.
Okay. And so secondly, we had an BIS hallmark litigation. So can you update on that?
Yeah, sure. So I can. She's good to ask that question. So we had a BIS issue that came up that started off approximately 2 years ago. It was on some material that was imported at the time. And there was a BIS notification that said that you could not import without a BIS stamp. We made an error on our part on two things. And the first part was that once we knew that the BIS notification had come, we stopped further import. But what had been imported, we were still selling, which is an error on our part. We should not have been doing that. And the BIS, of course, filed a case and all that went on. When they filed the case, then we applied for compounding, like you would very normally. It's a very small quantum of goods, approximately 5 crores, 6 crores, something like that. And we applied for compounding, 3.5 crores, and we applied for compounding accordingly. We believe that unfortunately, the BIS was quite unfair in its compounding order to us and gave us a compounding order in the region of 35 crores, 36 crores, which we believe is very, very unfair. And so we challenged that order and we were left with the legal recourse to go to High Court and put a stay on the matter, which is what we've done. We have managed to do that. So we can continue to work it on a legal basis. And we're quite confident that you know, better sense will prevail in terms of the size of that order, at least, because it's quite irrational the way we see it. Having said that, we work with the BIS on a regular basis. We are part of many committees of the BIS on technical fronts and stuff like that. We actually, as a company, stand to gain a lot. The BIS being more and more proactive in the welding industry, we are firm believers that that's a great thing. It suits us for our main research grade in India philosophy for a quality player. Works really well for us, and we have good relations with BIS and everything else on that account. It's just that we feel this order was unfortunately not done very fairly to us. And we're following the legal recourse on it. That's it.
Okay. And sir, what was our export contribution in the H1?
H1, I think we hit about 60 crores on H1, yeah. So we touched last year pretty much almost, I think, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Happy Diwali and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Dhwanil. Mr. Dhwanil, you are now facing the meeting.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. You're able to hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, hi, Aditya. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers. So my first question is, you know, I think you indicated 22% volume growth for this quarter, right? So that's a pretty healthy number, even given the very buoyant CapEx and infra environment. So what is it that is working in our favor? In are we kind of gaining market share from somebody, or the demand is so buoyant that we are getting this kind of volume growth? Can you throw some light on that?
Look, unfortunately, it's not a large enough industry that I can give you the exact science behind a lot of it, but we do have a little sense of how we play in the market. And I would say most of it, approximately 80-90% of it, maybe in some way demand driven, not only in India but also abroad, which we're seeing good. So I would say demand drive for the Indian market, I'd say 80-90% of it is demand driven, maybe some part of it where we are doing some market growth that is working well for us. And on the other part, in the international markets, there is both, like we keep talking about, supply chain favorability for India. We are putting a lot of investments and effort into growing in those markets, creating the brand correctly, and definitely eating into a little bit of share of other players globally over there. So depending on the market that you're talking about, it's a question of demand and in some areas eating into.
Okay, got it. So second question on equipment side, I think we've done pretty well both in terms of volume and value on equipment side. And the only thing I think we're still slightly away from is the margin side of it. I think you had indicated that equipment is equally good margin business, but we are yet to kind of see that. So what are the factors which are still preventing equipment to kind of go to its desired margin level?
So I think you will see equipment has a little bit of more room for scale margins to come in. So it needs to scale up a little bit more. I think the benefit of the merger will also allow that to happen. And you will see a little more margins kick in, a little better from that regard. The second is, of course, you're dealing with parts of it that need to be reorganized and stuff like that. That'll come in time. Product mix improvement, which we're actually starting to see a bit of product mix improvement happening. So that'll definitely help. But it'll take some time. It's sort of quarterly, sort of an answer that'll come, at the end of every month, and you suddenly see the big jump. But over time, as we keep working towards all of this, we'll definitely see that the potential is there.
Okay.
Also,
And
the
last
automation, also the automation part of the business is very critical to this. Automation is not yet at the high enough scale. So I think that's actually probably the number one, number two reason if you will see it pick up is that if we can scale up the automation part of the business much higher, we'll be able to see that margin improvement significant.
Okay, got it. And last question. So I think international business, we are doing a fantastic job, Aditya, again. So whatever that we are reading, Saudi Arabia is planning very big CapEx. We are present right in that market. We are also scratching surface in South America. So very, very large opportunity is in front of us, even if we get a very tiny market share. So are we becoming more aggressive in our approach towards international business, kind of taking it to maybe much higher level than what we thought a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I would tend to agree that definitely we are very encouraged by what we're seeing, so we keep investing like that accordingly. But I think the very important part that we have to get right over here is, Saudi Arabia is a very good example of where the brand is known, but you're building it up, and you have to keep doing it. There's a lot of CapEx that's happening, so you have to do that very smartly and, enter correctly and make sure you have the right partners, which we fortunately do, and then where you want to entrench. But if you're going into the Americas or you're going into a Brazil market, the Yaddo brand isn't known. In the Middle East, the Yaddo brand is known. So you're going into those markets to get our value that we want. It's a longer period because you have longer gestation cycle because you have to do approvals, testing, you have to do all of those things. We're not going in as a cheap guy only, right? You have to be able to prove the value addition product that you want to do. So the timeline for that takes a little longer, 6 months, 8 months, but it'll hopefully break and then you're part of that cycle as you go. So I think you have to deal with each market separately, but you're 100% right that I don't think I think the potential ahead is absolutely tremendous, even better in the international market. But
Okay, great. Thanks a lot and all the best. Wish you a happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Devansh. Mr. Devansh, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Thanks for the opportunity, and sir, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, in case of exports, how you know we are able to scale up? Like you mentioned it, like we have already clocked last year's sales in terms of exports, because here we'll be competing with China, and domestically also we have faced margin pressure because of cheap Chinese imports. So in exports, how you know we are managing to navigate that competition? Some thoughts if you can share, and what can be the bigger picture, blue sky scenario in exports that is possible?
So again, it varies market to market, varies application to application. So let's talk about the Middle East first from a little perspective. Like I keep saying is, we've been in the Middle East for a long time. We were a well-regarded brand because we were undersold. Irrespective of what's happened post-COVID, where people are reorganizing supply chains, even prior to that, we were an undersold brand in the Middle East, where we were just not putting enough. So the first thing is, what we're doing now is we're just getting a lot more structured in our approach, the right distribution partners, building in, getting appreciation for the brand, understanding how to service the customer correctly and build that part up. And we've competed there against anyone in the world, and we've been anywhere between a tier 2 to a tier 1 player. So it doesn't have to typically be a cheap competition that you're fighting against. And we've done that in the Middle East market very well for a long time, which is oil and gas related, which is great for us. When you go into other markets, you're entering from two or three perspectives. You're entering either as your plus one to a China supply chain. So people want to have a different opportunity, which they're coming to you saying, we want to certify you. We want to work with a non-same partner that we had earlier for whatever reason. It's fine. That works for us well. Second part is, like I explained earlier, you've got to get into the entire value segment part of it. You've got to go through the approvals, testing. It takes 6 months. You'll get the right partner, go through all of that, and then just fit into the supply chain, and then it becomes part of the regular ordering process. I don't think we're fighting anywhere. I don't know anywhere that we're going, you know, I need to be cheaper than the China cheaper product. I don't think we're doing that. I don't think we can do that. And I don't think there's a need to do that. I think you have to look at where you fit in and where you can earn margin. And look, there'll be five people in the Indian market who are cheaper than us. So if my only strategy is to go in cheap, it won't really last us very long. So we're doing it in that sense. I hope that helps answer the question.
And in case of working capital, you know, the kind of improvements we were looking out in inventory has still not happened. Despite, we have still not executed the ONGC order. So where are the, you know, scope for improvement over there?
There is scope for improvement over there. I won't get into the detailing of all of that right now, but there is definitely scope for improvement. I'm fairly confident that in the next quarter to quarters, you should see a significant improvement on that one.
In terms of what can be the synergy benefits in terms of, you know, operating cost when the two entities merge, what benefits
from the manufacturing cost? Look, at the end of the day, the Yadav Contact range of products has a different margin to the Yadav Welding range of products. So it's more, you know, your importance of being able to sell at that correct price, being able to position the value correctly is one of those matters. There's a little bit of service benefits, back-end service costs, like manufacturing costs, all of that will come in.
Okay, but in terms of, let's say, G&A or those kind of, you know, fixed cost, what benefits?
There are benefits. I don't want to give an exact number, to be honest. We've done the math internally. There are benefits, but I don't want to give you an exact number. But yes, there will be benefits that could range anywhere in the region of at least 7 to 10% off the top of our head from what we can see.
Okay. And just last question, what has been the reason for delay in execution of ONGC order? I think we were expected to commence it.
The execution is going on. Yes, you are right. It's approximately a slight delay that is going on back and forth for many reasons regarding site, design, many, many things that we're in touch with ONGC and working with them with. But we expect the catch up to happen during the execution period as well.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Pankaj. Mr. Pankaj, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, if we see current 6 month numbers, so equipment sales were grown by more than 50%. So it is only the impact of volumes, or is there any price increment too?
It's primarily volumes and slight product mix. No major price appreciation as such on a per unit basis, on a per product basis.
So are we expecting to rise price in the coming future?
I don't have an answer to that exactly. I am not in a position to give it. I think it just depends on the market forces. I think if the market is in a position to allow us to do it, and if we can, we definitely will.
Okay, got it. My second question is, what is the breakup of automation, cutting, and other equipment in our equipment segment? And is there any margin difference among the all?
It's small at the moment. It's approximately 10 to 12% of our equipment sale, and should be, we're investing and working towards the fact that it should lead up to approximately 1:1. The margins are, because it's small, on a gross margin level is quite okay. It'll be somewhere in the region of 25% on a gross margin level, but they're not big enough on a scale level, so you're always going to hurt over there. So I think the scale level needs to go up. But it's definitely, this is an area which is definitely the big driver for margins.
Okay. My next question is, so what is our current revenue mix of high value items and conventional products in consumable segment, along with previous period mix, and how margins differ between the two?
We are at approximately 85% standard range of products, and probably about 15% on the higher end kind of products right now. You can keep looking down and get to about 80-20, depending on how we invest and then how we drive that. The margins would differ by approximately 3 or 4 or 5%, depending on the range and on gross level.
And then, is there guidance for high value items?
Sorry?
Any future guidance for high value items?
Guidance? I can't. I think we have no choice but to be a seriously good player in it. So we have to keep driving that, which we're doing. We're spending a lot of time and effort on that. And we have to grow that. Yes, we are trying that.
Okay. Just one follow up question. As we said that our flare business, so there's a delay in flare business. So is there any liquidated damages that we can expect?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment. If there was, we would have taken already a provision for it. So not.
Okay. And just one last question. So what are the total number of dealers in distributor as at the end of period and total number of SKUs?
We have at our welding, we have approximately 180, 190, 180 distributors and a sales team of approximately 90 people. At Addo Fontech, we have approximately 80, 90 distributors and a sales team of another 60 people, 70 people.
And SKU?
Sorry?
Total number of SKUs?
SKUs in the welding front, you're dealing with steel and different sizes. So you're talking of anywhere in the region of 5,000 SKUs.
Okay,
but yeah. It's a 90-10 rule, not an 80-20, it's a 90-10 rule.
Okay. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Ankit. Mr. Ankit, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations for a great set of numbers, Aditya and the team. On the consumable side, you know, we have seen margins of around 16.5% at PBIT level in Q2. And you were saying, and these are one of the our highest of ever margins in any quarter for the past 4-5 years at least. And you're saying that, you know, you hope to build on this kind of margins, and this is the base level, and it will, build on this. So, you know, what all has led to such significant jump in our PBIT margins on the consumable side, and, you know, where do you see this heading towards over the next year or two?
I think as long as we remain a little smart on product, it comes out of the same principle, basically. This is what, you know, you remain a little smart on the product mix. You want to be a little, get some sourcing advantages with the scale that we are doing. And as long as we understand the value selling in the market, those are the basics that we keep following. And for AI, for the international and the domestic, together, if they keep doing this, this will definitely have a lot of benefit going forward. I'm hoping that this base we just keep incrementally building up by a few basis points.
Sure. And the volume growth that we have seen in H1 is like, normally whenever we have interacted with you through con calls, you have always maintained that the industry growth has been at high single digit or low teens kind of thing, and our endeavor has been to slightly better that. But this quarter has seen a significant improvement in the volume growth, and you are saying the momentum continues even in October. So which segments are driving this volume growth, such a huge volume growth?
The domestic market and the Indian market, or the general infra is driving growth, or the railways is driving growth. Auto is obviously going on a little bit. We don't do excess amount in autos, but autos is going okay. Railway shipbuilding is coming in. We have sorry. Power plants a little bit, cement also a little bit. Just cement, adding infrastructure and cement, that's also helping. I think all in all, in general, that's sort of picking it up in that regard. Yeah.
Sure. On the player segment, we will be starting the execution for the ONGC contract, as you said, from December onwards. So can we expect a billing of around 70 to 80 crore for the full year for FY24 in the segment?
That is what we are pushing very hard to do.
And the losses which we have incurred in the past two quarters, that will also get adjusted in the subsequent quarters. Like, let's say we'll try to reach 10-11% kind of margin that we have always endeavored to reach in this segment.
You're right. That's exactly what we're trying. Let's hope we can do it.
Gotcha. My last question was on the Fontex side. We are somewhere in the vicinity of around 50-55 crore of kind of quarterly run rate. So what kind of demand are we seeing in the sectors that Fontech, or in the segments that Fontech is catering to, and what kind of growth rates do we expect in Fontech over the near to medium term?
So it's a slightly different product mix that you're dealing with, and what we've done, what we've been trying to do ever since we decided to push the merger, we're trying to do is get the product mix even better at Fontech for higher margin products, understand where the overlap with anode happens, with welding happens, understand where those commodity range might be better suited at welding, and try and take those out of play as much as possible and try and push the right product mix, whether it's service or product, in Fontech more and more. So I don't think pushing excess top line growth is going to help. I think it's a question of margin improvement, which I think the team has been doing a lot, and we've been seeing that in the results. And then they're able to get that mix of decent level of growth, but better margin product mix as we do. And that I think will suit us in the module as well better. So that's what we're trying to do.
So overall, can we expect 10-15% kind of growth in Fontech, or it's
I think the 10% range is kind of okay here.
Okay, thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Kaushik. Mr. Kaushik, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hi sir, congratulations for the good set of numbers. Sir, my basic question is on the PBI numbers. Like, what is our Middle East market that we are going to have? It's like in the export side, we are telling that we have the good market on the Middle East. So like, what basis are that we are just present there from the longer duration is the only thesis, or the supply chain is the thesis?
Oh, so the base, the point that we have been there for a long time is allows us to operate on a platform. So it allows you to operate on a certain brand level where you don't have to keep introducing the brand. It's a very highly well regarded, I would say a well-regarded brand in that market. Now, and then there's the supply chain changes which happen, but I wouldn't say the supply chain changes in the Middle East are excessive. I think in Europe or America, they're a little more excessive or demanding about supply chain changes than they are. Middle East is going to get driven a lot by the oil and gas expenditures that is happening, Saudi Arabia CapEx spending that is happening. In the UAE also, we are seeing a lot of that happen, especially in Abu Dhabi and all of that. So oil and gas related, given the good period that oil and gas has, and that they're planning to invest for at least a few more years, it's not dead yet, it's a few more years of investment. So that's another driver. And lastly, I think the most important driver for us has been the team, that they've been very smart about getting into projects early, getting approvals early, being aggressive with distribution, being aggressive with customers. I think that has also helped a lot. So it's just those basics that will help. Middle East is approximately 80%, I think, of our export sales. Yeah.
Got it. Sir, how long will it take to replicate the same thought process on the US side and European market side? It's like we can assume...
Europe's not a focus area at all for us right now. Europe's not really, if something comes up, it comes up. The US a little bit, but other parts of America, Brazil, Mexico, a little more interesting. And then we have other parts like the CIS and all of that, it's also interesting. To replicate that, I don't think we can replicate it. I don't think we're in a position to replicate it. I think we're in a position to... But to do it again, you have to create value in some other way, which is through the supply chain, through testing, through a lot more distribution-oriented way of working. I think value addition selling may be limited. However, ensuring the product meets all the standards and all of that may be more accepting, you know, maybe something there. So it varies. I'd say it's a different way of looking at it. I don't think you could just say that we'll replicate the Middle East everywhere based over there.
Got it. So last question, can you give more clarity on BIS, Walmart?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, the BIS issue is we had in about 2 years ago, we had run afoul of a BIS notification that had come in that says that you could not import without a BIS approval. We had stopped imports at that time on the notification, but we made the error of continuing to sell the product, which you won't have done. That error at that time, the description of the product code was confusing. There were some things that happened, and all in all, there was an error that was made. We then applied for compounding, and the quantum of goods was only 3.5 crores, and we felt that the compounding, given what had happened in the past, the compounding events would have been a fine, which is fair enough, and move on, and a fine that would have been quite understandably fair. However, for some reason, the authorities decided to impose a very large fine on us, which was 25 crores, 36 crores, which is the max possible allowed. And we felt that it was highly unfair on their part. And therefore, we challenged it with the stay at the High Court, which is for a stay on the compounding order. And we are continuously, now we are going through the legal process of hoping for resolution. And like I said earlier also, we have a very good relationship with BIS. We work with them on many different fronts. We work on their technical committees, and we have a lot to gain with BIS. So it's not like a confrontational sort of thing. I think it's a question of just getting everything sorted out over time. That's it.
Got it. Thanks, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Ms. Ruchi. Ms. Ruchi, you are now being placed in the middle.
Good evening, everyone. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. I have just some basic questions. Like the current quarter's margin is 12.8% and FY23 was 11.2%. So is this sustainable for FY24 and next years? And in the similar context, is the risk manageable in your business if there is any kind of spike in metal prices?
I think our endeavor is to ensure that this level of margin remains through and through, and we keep building on it. So that's what we're pushing towards. The risk is there in terms of steel prices up down a little bit, but we're normally in a position to be able to pass it forward and all of that within a 1 month lag. And then that's what we're able to do. There are obviously rate contracts that you have with larger customers which require a little more detailing, but most of them are fairly raw material linked in some way or form, so you can make those adjustments. So I think most of the risks are fairly covered.
Okay. Is it sustainable for over next 2 years? Can you specify this?
That's what we are all working very hard to do. Yes, and we all hope.
Okay, and in the similar context, like as you have given the guidance in the con call as well, that volume growth was of 10% for FY24. So like, what will be the, like, are you on the same guidance for this year and next two more years?
I can't give any guidance, ma'am. I'm sorry, I don't give any guidance. I can only tell you that we hope to continuously outperform on the IIB front, which is luckily, which we have been doing, and we'll keep working on that. Beyond that, I'm sorry, I can't give any guidance.
Acha. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Nitish. Mr. Nitish, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So just a few questions. From what I understand, a lot of welding equipment right now is imported from China. So are our made in India product right now, is it finding more acceptance in India?
Yeah, there's a lot more acceptance for it. I think, look, at the end of the day, you can't just get away with that. The Indian market is very value-oriented, right? It's not going to, you can't get away with perceived value and real value, delivered value to be very different. So we've been working very hard to ensure that we provide a very good product. And we have a price margin that's built in, that's over a cheap alternative that may be imported. But yes, we feel that the market is very responsive to these in many ways, yeah.
Okay, and any guidance on the timeline for the merger? When will it get completed?
Back in NCLT's hands, I don't know, a few months we're hoping. Yeah, earliest it could be Q4. Yeah.
Okay, by Q4. Okay. That's all from my side, so thank you.
Thank you.
Our last speaker for today is Mr. Harsh. Mr. Harsh, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on great set of numbers. Wanted to understand, with demand being very strong in the domestic market, do you have any plans for gaining the market share in Indian market also? Like you mentioned, for exports, you are gaining market share.
Very much so. It's definitely a very important part. In fact, there was a question tying in about higher end special products per se, where we do tend to focus a little bit on gaining market share over there. In certain industries, we are trying to gain, like within the general infra space or within the shipbuilding space. Yes, we are trying. So we do, of course. Yes, very much. Look, at the end of the day, the Indian welding business drives this business. So I think, and given the fact of what we see as great growth opportunity in India, that is where we spend a lot of our mind space as well.
Got it. So, just a follow up to that is, we'll still have tough competition from imports for the lower end, right? Like for the higher end, we'll still be able to.
I don't think that'll change. I don't think competition is going to reduce in any way or form.
Okay. Got it. Fair.
Some other raised hand. Ask them. It's okay.
We have follow-up questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Mr.
Kaushik,
you are now being
taken in
the meeting. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for another opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand on the ONGC, this thing. So, post-December or January, we'll be having the order for next 6 months. That comes out to be around 135 crores. And 90% of the work will be done in that 6 months. Is my understanding right? And what about post that 6 months? Any order that we are chasing very currently?
Yeah, okay. So I'll try and break it down as much as I can. So it's approximately 125 crore order. It's 125 crore order net of GST, 125 crore. We have built till date anywhere in the region of 15 crore. 15, 16 crores we have built already till date. So you're left with 110 crores. Approximately 80 to 90% of that balance should be happening anytime between Jan and about July. That's the plan. So that gives you the math in terms of that breakdown. We are at the moment bidding and have been bidding to add projects into our timeline for next year. Be able to look at a growth of 20-25% minimum, if not more, 30-35% maybe, for next year's as a division. So I hope that answers it to some level.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Anything else?
We have one more follow-up question from Mr. Ankit. Mr. Ankit, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Sure. Thanks for the follow-up. Just one question on the margins of the equipment side. So there were some supply chain issues that we were facing for our equipment segment. So how is the situation on that front? And, you know, you have maintained that in the medium term, we want to have, you know, mid-teens or 14-15% kind of margins in the equipment side. So, you know, timeline on that, you know, when are we looking to reach that, or at least double-digit kind of margins can we expect in that segment?
So, firstly, most supply chain issues at the moment, touch wood, are kind of okay. We don't foresee any major issues like that was earlier. I think the answer to the double-digit margin lies in our ability to ramp up our automation very fast. very well and make that a significant contributor, which it can. I'm hoping, but it will not happen on a monthly basis. It will not happen on a quarterly basis. We're working towards it. You have to just give us a little time. We will see that come.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was the last speaker.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. All done?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.